Today's shiur is Masechta Avodah Zarah, Daf Mem Zayin, and we will begin on Daf Mem Zayin, Amud Aleph, 8 lines from the top, Bei Reish Lakish. Begins the Gemara. Bei Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish asked the following question. Hamishtachve ledekel, if somebody bows down to a palm tree, lulavan ma'alu mitzvah, what would be the din regarding the lulav of that tree? Maybe, may it be used for the mitzvah of dalaminim? And as the Rishonim point out, actually this discussion about what is the status of the dekel is a discussion that's already in the Gemara Masechta Sukkah, where Rava says, Hamishtachave ledekel, that if somebody bows down to a dekel of Avodah Zarah, the halach is the lechatchila, Rava says you may not use that dekel. But the Eved, you may not use that dekel for the mitzvah of Lula, but the Eved you may. And the Rishonim now discuss is Reish Lakish, how do we view Reish Lakish in view that Rav already discussed this issue in Masechta Sukkah? Some say that actually Reish Lakish is asking the same question that Rav asked, and he's having the exact same discussion. What would be the halacha b'di'evad l'chatchila regarding using the dekel? Others say that Reish Lakish perhaps is agreeing with Rava, and yet others explain that Reish Lakish and Rava are not really speaking about the exact same situation, because Rava is referring to a situation where they were not yet mevatel the dekel from being an Avodah Zarah. And yet, Rava says that l'chatchila one shouldn't use such a dekel for the mitzvah of lulav, but the eved he may. Rava, on the other hand, Reish Lakish is referring to a situation where they were mevatel the dekel from being an avodah zarah, and Reish Lakish's question is that even in a situation where they were mevatel it from being an avodah zarah, perhaps still l'chatchila one should not use such a dekel for the mitzvah dalaminim. Only by the eved may he use such a tree for the, may he use such a branch for the mitzvah of dalaminim. So Reish Lakish, hamishtachel dekel lulav ma'alu mitzvah, may the lulav of this dekel be used for the mitzvah dalaminim or not? Says the Gemara, be'ilon shenot mitchil l'kach. When we're referring to a tree that was planted with the intention of being an Asherah tree, Loiti Barlach, there is no question. Tafila Hajid Nam Yasa, as we have been learning, everybody agrees that a tree that was planted with the intention that it be an Asherah tree has the din of an Asherah tree, and it's certainly also even for Hajid. So if it's also for Hajid, it's certainly also to be used for the mitzvah. Kiti Barlach, the question is, says the Gemara, is in the scenario, Be'ilin shenotl b'soif avodai, where it was planted not to be a avodah zarah, but then they decided to use it for an avodah zarah. And continues the Gemara, V'aliv Rabbi Yosef b'Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yosef b'Yehuda, that says that such a tree still has the status of a avodah zarah, loyti b'ilach. There, again, it would not even be a place for a question, because such a situation, according to Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, afil lehedit nami asur, is considered a full-fledged avodah zarah. Kiti b'ilach, when do we have a question? The question is, aliv d'rabbanan. The rabbanan say that a ni'ilon shenata l'psayif avodai is not considered an avodah zarah. The question is that although it's not considered an asheira, linya mitzvah mai, what will be the halacha may be used for the mitzvah dalaminim? Mi mos klapa gavoya, is it considered mos, and therefore even though it doesn't have the din of an ashera, still such a tree should not be used for the mitzvah dalaminim? Oiloi. Tosfos points out that actually the Gemara could have come up with a number of scenarios that would be even a question according to Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. One would be a situation where a tree was not planted that or was not designated l'shem avodah zarah. The tree grew by itself without any human planting. There, Rabbi Yosef Behuda agrees that it doesn't have the status of an Asherah. And that would be the case that the Gemara is asking what, according to Rabbi Yosef Behuda, again, would be the question. Or, another way that we can have a question, even according to Rabbi Yosef Behuda, goes back to an issue that we discussed previously. Because we explained that even according to Rabbi Yosef Behuda, who holds that Ilan Shenata Ulubsaif Avodai has the din of an Asherah, Rabbi Yosef Behuda, however, agrees that what has the din of an Asherah? Only the part of the tree that grew after the tree was designated to be an Asherah. But whatever grew before that doesn't have the din of an Asherah. And therefore we could find the case that the Gemara could be asking, even according to Rabbi Yosef Behuda. He's asking, what will be the din on the part of the tree that's there before the tree was designated to be an Asherah? Will that part, can that part, given that even Rabbi Yosef Behuda agrees, it doesn't have the status of an Asherah, could it be used for the mitzvah of Dalaminim, or can it not, or may it not be? However, the Gemara says, Kiyos Rav Dimi Amar, Rav Dimi says that the question of Reish Lakish is a different question. The question of Reish Lakish refers to a situation, Bashir Shabit Lakamir Ba'ilai. We know, as we've learned and will learn, that Avodah Zarah can be nullified. And the Gemara's question is, this Asherah was nullified. And the question of the Gemara is, Yesh Dichoy Eitzel Mitzvahs or Ein Dichoy Eitzel Mitzvahs? Given that at one point, this tree, given that it was an Asherah at that point, certainly could not have been used for the mitzvah of Dalaminim. So since it couldn't have been used for the mitzvah of Dalaminim, it became disqualified. And that disqualification perhaps remains a permanent disqualification. Or Ein Dichoy Eitzel Mitzvahs, that even though it was disqualified, that disqualification does not remain a permanent disqualification. And as the Rishonim frame the Gemara's question, certainly, according to this version of understanding Reish Lakish, if the nullification of this tree from being an Asherah took place before Sukkos, so given at the moment that Sukkos began, which is the moment when the lulav has to be designated as a kosher or non-kosher lulav, it was qualified to be a mitzvah, that would certainly not be an issue. The question of the Gemara is in a situation that as Sukkos began, this lulav was still part of an Asherah tree. The Asherah tree was not yet nullified from being an Avodah Zarah. So at the moment Sukkos began, it became nullified, it became dichui, it became disqualified. The Gemara's question is, does that disqualification remain forever or not? Furthermore, actually the Gemara Masechet Sukkah has two situations that the Gemara discusses regarding the mitzvah of Hadassim that are very similar to this case. One is a situation where the Hadass is a niktam. The top of the Hadass is chopped off. That the halach is that such a Hadass is possible for the Dalaminim. However, the halach is that Hadass that is niktam, if it grows a tamar, if it grows a fruit on the top of the Hadass, that Hadass will be kosher. So the question is the same question. If at the beginning of Sukkos the Hadass was a niktam, but then during Sukkos this tamar, this berry, grew on the top of the Hadass, do we say dichui or not? There's another scenario that's similar, but not really exactly similar, that the Gemara Masechet Sukkah discusses. And that is a situation that the Mishnah says that Hadass Shahaya Anovav Hashchurim Mirubim Ma'alim, that its black berries are more than its leaves. Again, that's a Hadass that's possible. And the halacha is that those berries may not be removed on Yontif, because it's Tikkun Keli. You're making the Hadass from being a Posel Hadass into Kosher Hadass. what would be the halacha again if the blackberries fell off on Yontif? So again, as Yontif began, we had a hadas that's possible because it has more anovim shchurim than alim. Then on Yontif, the anovim shchurim fell off, and now it's a kosher hadas. What will be the halacha then? So Taisus says there it's different, because in the case of the hadas that's niktam, or in the case that we're discussing now of the Ashera that doesn't belong to a Jew, or that the Jew doesn't have the ability to mevatel the Ashera, so there it's a real dochui, it was truly disqualified before Yontif. However, in the case of the Hadas, since Erev Yontif, albeit that on Yontif one may not take off the Andav of Shcharim, but on before Yontif you could have taken off those Anov of Shchayrim and make it into kosher hadas, that perhaps will not be considered the same as a situation of Dochui that our Gemara is referring to. Says the Gemara, Tishalei, so the Gemara's question is, if something becomes disqualified, does it remain permanently disqualified? And when we speak about the issue of this permanently disqualified, it's interesting that Rashi uses the words olamis, that it becomes permanently disqualified. Hoil v'nitcha be'oida asheira yutcha olamis. And Rameya Arik, in learning this Rashi, says that from here we see that if we're going to apply the concept of dichui by mitzvahs, since it was became disqualified at one point, it will remain disqualified forever. Says the Gemara, Tifshalei, Midatanan. Why can't we answer this question from what we learned in the following Mishnah? The Mishnah says, Kisov in the Skala, we know the halacha is that if a chaya or an oif are slaughtered, there's a mitzvah of kisu hadam. The blood has to be covered. So the halacha is, if somebody covered the blood of these slaughtered beast or bird, and the nizgala becomes uncovered, potam al-chasas. He doesn't have to cover it again. He has fulfilled his mitzvah. Kisar ruach, but it was not covered by a person. It was covered by the wind only. Chayv al-chasas. V'amar Rabba b'chana amar Rabbi Yochanan. Loi shana al-shachaz nizgala. When is the halacha that where the blood becomes exposed, that you is it has to be, when is the halacha that it has to be covered? Only if it was uncovered by the wind. Av loy chazav in the skala, if it remained covered, potam lachasis, then nobody has a mitzvah to cover it, because as long as it's in a covered state, there is no mitzvah of kisui adam. Ask the Gemara Vavinaba, in understanding the halacha of Rabba Babachano, ki chazav nizgala mayhava, even if it becomes exposed, why would there be a mitzvah for the person to cover it? Why don't we say hoil v'itchi itchi, since while it was covered, although it was indeed not covered by a person, it was covered by the wind, but since at that point there was no longer a mitzvah of kisui adam, it should remain permanently dochui. V'amra papa, says there a papa based on this, Zois Ameris, ain't dichui etzel mitzvahs. From here we see that we don't apply the concept of dichui, and that the halacha is that even though it's disqualified at one point, that disqualification doesn't remain permanent. So the Mefarshim ask, how could the Gemara have assumed that we should use what Rapapa says to answer a question of Rish Lakish, if Rapapa came so many generations after Rish Lakish? So one answer is that the Gemara is not asking that Rish Lakish should have known what Rapapa said, and based on knowing what Rapapa said, he could have answered the question. Rather, what the Gemara's question is, that we're going to learn in a few moments, that the Gemara remains with a teiku. And the question is, why is it a teiku? Why don't we use what Rapapa says as an answer to the question? Another way of explaining is that's not just that Rapapa made a statement, and the Gemara, of course, how can we expect Rish Lakish to know what Rav Papa said, given that Rav Papa lived so many years after the Shlokish. Rather, Rav Papa was saying an explanation on what Rav Yochanan said. And Rav Yochanan and Rav Shlokish were contemporaries, and therefore the Gemara is asking, that why should the halacha be, why isn't what Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Papa just explaining what Rabbi Yochanan said, a answer to the question of Reish Lakish? Says the Gemara, the Rabbi Papa Gufei Ibailei. Says the Gemara, that indeed was the question of Rabbi Papa. Mishat Pshita Leila Rabbi Papa. It's obvious that Rabbi Papa is of the opinion that Ein Dichoy Eitzah Mitzvahs, that we don't say the concept of disqualification. And therefore, Loshna Lekula V'Loshna Lechumra. That means we don't follow the concept that something becomes disqualified. And therefore, even if the blood was covered by the wind, it becomes exposed, one must cover it again. In our case, would reach a, that's a chumrah. The chumrah is that you have to do the mitzvah of kisui hadam. In our case, saying dichui would lead to a kula, because if we say that although the lulav, while it was part of an asherah tree, the halacha is you, while it was part of an asherah tree, you have to, you can't use it as a lulav, but now that that asherah tree became nullified for being an asherah tree, perhaps you can now use it. Idilma, or perhaps this concept that we don't say dichoy etzah mitzvahs is not such a hard and fast rule. Svukim sapkala, and therefore l'chumra mirin, l'chumra we say ein dichoy etzah mitzvahs, and therefore by the case of kisui hadam we have to cover it again. L'kulay aminin, but that doesn't mean we'd be allowed to use this lulav for the mitzvah, because as we said a moment ago, that would mean a kula, and we don't use the concept, we don't use this point of ein dicha etzel mitzvahs to achieve a kula. And the Gemara indeed says, teku, it remains a question. So certainly when it comes to the halacha of kisui hadam, the paiskim all say that even if the blood was covered by the wind, and then it became uncovered, the halacha is that we would have to do kisui hadam again. The only question is a bracha required? Normally when kisui hadam is done, a bracha is made. The question here is a bracha made here, or is a bracha not made here? The Ksav Sofer makes a very interesting point. He says that in the halacha of kisui hadam, there would be a nafgamina halacha if the wind covered the blood, and the person who slaughtered the animal, therefore is miyash, never assumes that he will have the opportunity to do the mitzvah kisui hadam on this blood, because he assumes that under the normal circumstances, the blood will of course remain covered, then the halacha is that he won't have to do kisui hadam again. Versus when he doesn't assume that there won't be an opportunity for kisui hadam, then he will have to do kisui hadam again. But it's interesting to point out that the paiskim discuss, here we were discussing an object, namely in our Gemara, lulav. If a lulav once became disqualified, does it remain permanently disqualified or not? But actually, if we think about it, there are scenarios where a person perhaps becomes dochui. And if do we say the concept of dochui by a person or not? Two situations, unfortunately, both refer to the halachas of Avelis. The shayla, one shayla is, if somebody loses a close relative, then we know that the halachas of Avelis begin, most notably the halacha of sitting shiva, etc. And what would be Rachmanu Tzlan if a person, a child, lost a close relative, and therefore as shiva commenced, he's not chayiv b'avelis, but then during the shiva he becomes bar mitzvah. does he have to follow the halachas of Avelos or not? Another situation is we know that Rachman Tzlan and Oinen, somebody who lost a close relative prior to the kvura, prior to the burial, is an Oinen and is not mechuy b'mitzvahs. So therefore, the halacha is that if someone loses a close relative on Shabbos, a Matzoy Shabbos, when we all have to make Havdalah, this Oinen can't make Havdalah. He's not mechuy b'mitzvahs. And even hearing Havdalah for someone else will not make a difference. He's potter min ha-mitzvahs. The question is, the kvura takes place, does he have to hear Havdalah after the kvura? And it's interesting to note that if we look in the halacha is very different. The halacha is very different regarding the question of the child who becomes an ovel and then becomes a bar mitzvah during the shiva versus the oinen who became an oinen and is an oinen on Matzah Shabbos regarding Havdalah. The child who becomes an ovel as he's a child, even though he becomes bar mitzvah during the shiva, is not obligated me'ikar hadin to follow to sit down shiva. The oinen is obligated to hear Havdalah when he comes back for the kfura. And the question is, why? The Mefarshim explained that even though we're applying the concept of dochi, we have to look at how dochi is to work. Shiva begins, and it's, we said a similar concept earlier. Shiva begins at the time that shiva begins. And if at that moment this relative is still a katan, he has no chiv shiva. Once he has no chiv shiva, we can't put on him a chiv shiva. The chiv of Havdalah, although of course the proper time to make Havdalah is immediately after Shabbos, but Havdalah, the zman of Havdalah goes till Tuesday. And therefore, if somebody didn't make Havdalah on Matzah Shabbos, it's not, and he, even if he couldn't make Havdalah on Matzah Shabbos, the halacha will be that when he can make Havdalah, if it's before the zman, it's before the time of Havdalah is up, he's obligated not because of Matzoy Shabbos, he's obligated because now he has a Chiv Havdalah, and therefore he'll have to make Havdalah. Similarly, again, it's not a question that's very relevant, La'aloch L'maisa, but we know that a child really only becomes a gadol when he's bar mitzvah, 13 years old, or a girl bas mitzvah, 12 years old, and they brought the proper simonim. We obviously don't do the examination of the simonim, but midaraisa simonim are required. What would be the halacha if a child develops the simonim in the middle of Shabbos? That means, on Friday night, when Shabbos began, he didn't have simonim. But during Shabbos, simonim would develop. Will they be mechuy midaraisa to be shayim Shabbos? And the answer, based on our explanation that we've just given, is absolutely yes. Because we don't look at Shabbos that if you were mechuyiv in Shabbos, as Shabbos began, you're obligated to keep Shabbos. But if you weren't mechuyiv to be shayim Shabbos, as Shabbos began, you're not obligated to fulfill the rest of Shabbos. Every moment of Shabbos has its own chiyuv of shmir Shabbos. And therefore, even if you weren't mechuyiv a moment ago, that has nothing to do with the next moment. And if a moment ago you weren't a gadol, that has no bearing on the next moment when you become a gadol and you'll be mechuyev to fulfill the mitzvah of Shemir Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Boy Rapapa, Hamishtachvel Behema, if somebody bears down to an animal, Simra Malat Tchelis, could its wool be used for the Tchelis? Ask the Gemara, when we speak about Tchelis, Tchelis demai, what type of tchelis are we referring to? E tchelis l'kahanim, if we're talking about tchelis that should be used for the big day kahanim, hi the boy Rav Chama. That's the question that Rav Bar Chama asked in the previous year, where Rav Bar Chama asked that were stones of a mountain that were, of a mountain that was worshipped to be used to be built for a mizbeach. V'tchelis l'tzitzis, and if we're referring about tchelis of a regular tzitzis, hanabayit Rish Lakish. That's the question that we're asked, that Rish Lakish asked, if something that became mos because it was used for avodah zarah, can it be used for the mitzvah of Dalaminim. Says the Gemara, Enachanami. Says the Gemara, indeed, Deloy Havilim Baboile. This question not have to be asked. For Haidaka Baboile Ha, the reason he asked it is Mishum the Ikam Milach Rinisa, because there were other questions that came up. The question is, Simra Malat Chelis. Can its wool be used for Chelis? But there were other questions. Kanea Malachatzoitzus. Can the horns of this animal that was worshipped as an Avodah Zarah be used for the Chatzoitzus? And the Mefarshim asked the question that we know that the Chatzoitzus were made out of silver. So what's the question if the Chatzoitzus can be, if they could use the horns of this animal for the Chatzoitzus? Chatzoitzus are made out of silver. So I saw a number of answers. One answer is that there are two types of needs for Chatzoitzus. There are Chatzoitzus that the Torah refers to that were used to gather the people, and indeed those Chatzoitzus could only be made out of silver. But there are also Chatzoitzus, as our Gemara will be discussing, that the Levim used when they sang the Shira. Those could be made out of horns. Another text that the Rishonim suggest is strictly the Chatzoitzus that Moshe Rabbeinu made had to be made out of silver. Other Chatzoitzus could be made out of other materials. Another explanation, similar to what we've been explaining, is that they indeed had Chatzoitzus made out of silver when they did the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash even, but because they wanted to have a fantastic musical accompaniment when they blew, when they sang the Shira, they had both types of Chatzoitzus. They had Chatzoitzus that were made out of silver, as the Torah prescribes, but they had also Chatzoitzus that were made out of the horn of an animal to accompany the Shira. And that's the Gemara's question, what is the status of those Chatzoitzus? Shekeh Malach Halilan, if the bones can be used for flutes, B'nei Me'eho Malach Furis, can they use the intestines for strings of the harp? Says the Gemara, Aliva demanda Ami Ikashir Bekeli, there's a question, what is the proper way, what is the main, the Torah requires Shira, but the question is, what is the main way that Shira is accomplished? Says the Gemara, according to Manda Amid that says that Shira has to be done with a instrument, Loy Tabaylach, there is no question, Devadi Osir. We can't use something that's Moos to do in the Avoid in the Beis HaMikdash. Ki Tabaylach, the Gemara's question is, Lamanda Amid Ikashira Peh. The question is that Shira has to be done by Peh. Since the purpose of the instruments is only to enhance the singing, therefore it's not that important, it's not that essential, and therefore these items can be used to make instruments. It's still inappropriate, and the Gemara says teiku. Says the Gemara, by Rava, hamshtachva lemayon, if somebody bows down to a spring, Meimov Mal Nesachim, may the water of the spring be used for the Nesachim that are brought on the base on the Mizbeach. Ask the Gemara. Ma'akim Eboile, let's analyze the question. Ilay Malibububu Kasagid, if we're saying that he bowed down to his reflection, is that the Avodah Zarah? Oidim Lamay Kasagid, or is he worshipping the water itself? That can't be the question, says the Gemara, because if that was the question, he could have asked the question by Sefala Hedyet, if not specifically the case of a mayon, of a spring, but rather, what would be the halacha water in a bowl in front which somebody worshipped? And the Gemara's question is, what would be the halacha, can it be, does that water become Avodah Zarah or not? Says the Gemara, Olam Lamay Kasagit, the person, Rava is clear, sure, that if somebody bows down to water, whether it's in a spring or in a bowl, the person is worshipping the water itself, and the water therefore becomes Avodah Zarah. V'akam Ebailei. L'mayi de kamei kosogit, is he bowing down to the water in front of him? the kamei kamei azda, and the water in a spring is constantly on moving forward, and therefore the water that he bowed down to originally is not the water that's here now, and therefore that new water may be used for the nesachim. Adimla dechruna demayka sagit, or perhaps he's worshiping the entire current of the water, and if he's worshiping the entire current of the water, any water in the spring would become possible for nesachim. Ask the Gemara, umi mitzri, does water become usur? V'amar Rabbi Yochanan Shimon Rabbi Shimon ben Yitzadik, mayim shel rabim ein nesarim. Water of the public doesn't become usur because a person doesn't have the ability to make avodah zara water that belongs to the public. And it says the Gemara, letzricha de kanavi ma'ara. We're talking about a case, but it's a privately owned spring. And the Rishonim debate, what does it mean that it's a privately owned spring? Some Rishonim explain that that the entire spring is enclosed within the person's own property. And since the entire spring is enclosed within the person's own property, the halacha is that spring a person has the ability to make into avodah zara. Another explanation is that it's talking about a case that this person himself is the one that dug the spring, and since this person dug the spring, it's considered his spring. Interesting ritva. Ritva says that the Gemara is saying that since this water, that even if he worshipped water, it's only the water that's directly in front of him that he's worshipping, and this water is part of a current that's constantly running, and therefore the water that now will be brought for the Nesachim is not the exact water that he bowed down to. After Ritva, but when it comes to Avodah Zarah, the halacha is that Avodah Zarah never becomes bottled, never becomes nullified. So we have in this big spring even a small amount of water that became Avodah Zarah, that should cause that the entire spring is usur, because there's in the spring water that is Avodah Zarah water, the water that he directly worshipped. Says the Ritva, a very big chiddush, that where do we say that if there's a water in a barrel or water in any container, and part of that water is water that was worshipped for Avodah Zarah, that water doesn't become bottle? That's water that's tolution. The case that we just gave, we have a big container of water, and in there is some water that was worshipped for Avodah Zarah. That will cause that the entire container will be considered like water of Avodah Zarah. However, says the Ritva, when it's water that's mechubarin, the halacha is that the entire, we don't say this concept, by water mechubarin, the entire water, if the small amount of water that became Avodah Zarah becomes bottle. And in fact, Davni Nezer uses the concept of the Ritva for a very interesting question. We know that chametz bePesach is also a mashahu. Even the slightest amount of chametz prohibits the entire mixture in which it's in. So if bread, chametz, is thrown into a river from which we get water, or chametz is thrown into a reservoir from which we get water on Pesach, why does not the entire reservoir become chametzdig because the chametz was thrown in? The answer is, if it's mayim uchubarim, the halacha is, given the Rav Nezer says this point, then everybody agrees that we say bittel, even where bittel normally would not apply avodah zarah or chametz. There are others that say that even if we don't say that, even though the halacha Pesach is that chametz is not bottled even by mashu, but certainly when we're dealing with such a huge amount of water and such a small amount of chametz, there everybody would agree that perhaps we say bittel. It's interesting to note that this Gemara I saw of Yitzchak Zilberstein quotes was used for a very interesting situation. The situation was that the king and queen of Egypt were once walking in a garden. And in the garden, there was a beautiful spring. And the queen wanted to go swimming in that spring. The king did not want her to go swimming. And he said, if you go swimming in that spring, I will divorce you. She went swimming anyway. And then, he of course regretted his rash statement, and he didn't know what to do. And he asked the religious leaders of different religions. He asked the Rav of Egypt, and the Rav of Egypt used our Gemara to say why there was no problem. Because he said, as our Gemara says, the water of a spring, it's constantly flowing. And he said, the water in front of you, you shouldn't go swimming. But by the time she went in swimming, there was different water. And that wasn't the water that he prohibited, and therefore there is no issue, as our Gemara indicated. Says the Mishnah, Mishnah is to base Samach Avodah Chachamim Nafal. If somebody's house was next to an Avodah Zarah, and then the house, and then the wall collapsed. And as the Rishonim explained, the Mishnah is referring probably about a situation where somebody built a house, he had an attached wall to his next door house, the next door neighbor was not a base Avodah Zarah, and then it became a base Avodah Zarah. So, until something happens, there is no obligation that he has to do anything. In fact, I saw a tshuva from Rav Moshe that even if there's a shul and the next door house was a regular house and then it was sold and became a base Avodah Zarah, the shul could remain there. Here we're referring to a situation where he had his house next door to another house and then the common wall collapsed. The loch is Osel of Noitzah. He can't just rebuild it. Because now, when he's rebuilding it, he is rebuilding the home of an Avodah Zarah. Keitz Yasa, Koinus Petok Shloi Arba Amos. He has to distance this house, his house now, 4 Amos from the old house, and then he could build a new wall there. The Ritva says that this halach is only when we're dealing with large houses and large courtyards. If it isn't such a large house and large courtyard, 4 amos wouldn't be required. Says the Mishnah further, Shaloi v'shalavot kachavim. If half the house belonged to him and half the house belonged to the Beis Avodah Zarah, nidin machza machza. So the way Rashi explains it is like this, that the Avodah Zarah's half of the thickness of the wall is not included in the 4 amos that we're referring to, but the Jew's half is. For example, if the wall was 2 amos thick, so the Jew measures 1 am of his property that was previously occupied by the wall, and he only has to withdraw another 3 amos and build there. Other Rishonim disagree, and they say that Pshat in the Mishnah is Nida Mechza Mechza, is that we look at the entire wall, half of the wall is considered, half of the stones are considered the Jews, and half of the stones are considered the Akums. Avnov V'Avsov Afra Metam B'Sheretz. All of the material are Metama like a Sheretz. Shenem Meshakets Teshakzena. And the Torah says that Avodah Zarah should be treated like a sheretz, and therefore it's only metama b'maga like a sheretz, by touching, not b'masa. Ask the Mefarshim. What the Gemara here is saying is that all of the materials that were used for these walls are considered tuma sheretz. But why don't we say the concept of breira, retroactive designation, and say that whatever the Jew takes, whatever half the Jew takes, will be nivra mafrei, will be retroactively designated as not avodah zara, and vice versa, whatever the akum takes is avodah zara. Specifically, the mafarshim asked the question because since the entire din that avodah zara is tame is only a din de rabbanon, by rabbanon we say breira. So some mafarshim say, because of the chumrah of Avodah Zarah, we're stricter. Other mefarshim say that it's not purely a din of the Rabbanan, because whatever is avodah zarah is osba hanor midaraisa. We can't look at this as a pure din derabbanon, and therefore we can't apply the concept of breira. Kiva says avodah zarah is matama like a nida. Shinema, the pasuk says regarding avodah zarah, tizrin k'maydava tsei taimaloi. Man nida matamba b'masa. So it not only has a tumas maga like a sheretz, but has a tumas maga, tumas masa like nida, avavadis kachavim matama b'masa. There's a famous vort from the Sefer Chanukah Satayra. We all recall that Rachel had taken the avodah zarah of her father Lavan, and Lavan went searching for the avodah zarah, and he came to the tent of Rachel, and Rachel says, "V'taim alavia al yecha ba'adoni kiloi ucha lakam b'penecha." Don't be upset that I don't get up. Ki derech nashimli. I'm a nida, and therefore it's difficult for me to get up, says the Chanukah Satayra. Rachel did not want to say an outright lie, even though she had been the one that indeed had taken the trophim, had taken the avodah zarah. She really wasn't lying, because she was saying that kiderech nashimli, the avodah zarah is like a nida, as Rabbi Akiva just taught us, and therefore she was saying, "I have the avodah zarah is kiderech nashim, it's like a nida." Ask the Gemara, we learn that if this wall that's between the base of avodah zarah and the home of the Jew collapses, he has to leave 4 empty amos. Ask the Gemara, but he's benefiting the avodah zarah, that it gives him this extra 4 amos. It's not that he should leave it open and benefit the avodah zarah, he should use it for basic kisei. Ask the Gemara, but how can you use such an area for basic kisei? It's an open area. The boy tsiniyosa. And the Gemara, the avodah basic kisei delilah. He makes it that it's used for basic kisei at night where it's dark anyway. Ask the Gemara, v'amamar ezet tsnua hanifna belaila b'makam shenifna b'yoyim. Somebody who goes to the bathroom at night as he does by day. Vavagav de kumna b'kaderech. Now, even though that was spoken about, not to where he goes to the bathroom, but how he goes, mi yitznos b'alamevid. A person has to act modestly in the bathroom, even at night. So what is pshat that it's used for? How could it be used as a bathroom if it's such an open area? And it says Gemara, the Avalele Tanaikis. It's made for a bathroom for Tanaikis who don't act modestly. And as the Pais can point out, it's not to say, Chas v'Sholem, that children should not be trained to act modestly in the bathroom. What the Gemara means is that they don't do it even if they're trained so. Inami the God Labez v'Higmi doesn't mean make it in the bathroom. Put bushes there so the avodah zarah won't have any benefit. Says the Gemara, Shloi Shabbatim Haim. There are three types, there are three categories of houses. Bayi Shabbatim Etchila Avodas Kochavim. There was a house that was built that the house itself should be worshipped. Hareza Osir. This house is considered a base of Avodah Zarah and has all of the dinim of Avodah Zarah. Seid of a Kedah Avodas Kochavim. If somebody plastered or decorated the house for avodah zarah for chidesh and therefore added to it, but as the Rishonim point out that the house was originally constructed not for avodah zarah, now he added plaster or paint to shem avodah zarah, but he wasn't yet worshipped for an avodah zarah, because the Ritva says once it's worshipped for an avodah zarah, it falls into the first category. Here, since it wasn't yet worshipped, Neutel Mashachidish, he just takes off the part that he added and it becomes permitted. And Hechnus L'Toch Avodas Kochavim V'Yitziyah, if somebody brought Avodah Zarah into a house and then took it out, the Halach is Hareza Mutter, this house is completely permitted because the house itself was never worshipped. And this is, and here we have a very interesting machlokes rishonim. Rashi says that when is such a house permitted? Only if the avodah zarah was p- put into the house on a temporary basis. But if it was made to permanently used for Avodah Zarah, it falls into the category of Mishamshei Avodah Zarah and has the din, the same din as a house that is worshipped for Avodah Zarah. The Ramban and other Rishonim disagree that, and they say if the house itself was now worshipped, even if it was used to permanently house Avodah Zarah, taking out the Avodah Zarah from the house is enough to make the house mutter. And of course this question is relevant l'aloch l'maisa, if a house that was used as a church could be changed into a shul. Some say that certainly according to Rashi, it's only if it was used temporarily, but it was used permanently, it's awesome. Furthermore, the Eliyahu Rabbah says that even if we'll say that we pass on like the Rishonim, that even if it was used permanently, but if the house itself wasn't worshipped, it could lose its status of Avodah Zarah, still that doesn't mean it could be used for shul. It could be used for regular use, but it can't be used for shul. The Mishnah Brura makes an interesting point. He says there's a difference if the church housed in an idols where it's more serious versus a situation that was only a place of worship where they worshipped other gods, but it wasn't actually a housing of Avodah Zarah. Amar Rav, Hamshtach v'Labayis, if somebody bows down to his house, Osroi. The house becomes also for benefit. Alma, it's obvious that he's of the opinion. Tolosh ulbsoif chibra, Tolosh dami. Something that was originally detached, the stones were originally detached from the ground, but then they become attached. Even if we say, as we learned at the beginning of the sugyas, that something attached doesn't become Avodah Zarah, this, since it was originally detached, can become Avodah Zarah. As the Gemara, V'anon b'anon t'anon, our Mishnah is referring to a case that was built. It was built for Avodah Zarah. Rav is saying that just worshipping a house makes it Avodah Zarah. And says the Gemara, that both halachas are true. B'ano abish lo yishtachvelo. If a house was built l'shem Avodah Zarah, even if it wasn't actually worshipped, or hishtachve, if it was worshipped, abish lo b'ano, even if it wasn't built for that intent, the halacha is both the same, that the house itself becomes an Avodah Zarah, and it becomes, as the first category of our Mishnah, it becomes completely Osur. Ask the Gemara, if now we're saying there are two different cases, whether you built the house L'Shem Avodah Zarah and didn't worship it, or you didn't build the L'Shem Avodah Zarah but you worship it, so why does our Mishnah only speak about three categories? Yochesh Shloisha, why does the Mishnah speak about three categories? Arba Hava, there are actually four categories. Answers the Gemara, Kivin Delin Yibitl, since as far as the halachas are being mevatel, Bona V'shtachavah, whether you built it or whether you worshipped it, has the same din. That's why Chat Choshvela is considered one category. Shlosh Avonim Heim, there's three types of stones. Evin Shechotzma B'tchilu Labimus, a stone that was taken with the intent that it be used for its pedestal for Avodah Zarah, it's considered a razor asur, it's considered a Avodah Zarah. Side of a kaid l'shem v'ed k'chavim, if it was only decorated or plastered for Avodah Zarah, noit l'mash side v'kaid m'teris, and then it becomes mutter. Hits him at a love of his k'chavim v'silika, if somebody put an Avodah Zarah on a pedestal and then he took it off, he raised m'teris. Omar, Ram, b'am, v'hu shesayid v'kaid b'guf v'shalevin. This halach is only when we speak about the second category, where he plastered and decorated the stone itself. He did some chiseling into the stone and then applied the plaster. But, according to Rav Ami, if the decoration was completely external, the halacha of the Mishnah would not apply. Vestigmarot, is that true? V'dayis, dumi l'bayis tanan. The first category of our Mishnah is similar to the first category of the previous Mishnah. Now the decoration of the house the second category of the previous Mishnah. And in that case, by slaba gufehu, the decoration wasn't done in the wall itself, and yet umitzer. And so the Gemara knows that the second category of the previous Mishnah, by snami ikabeni urbani, is referring to the case where he put the plaster between the bricks of the house. Ask the Gemara, milai skin the shaya for the shaya. Why are we saying that the Mishnah is specifically referring to a case that he put the plaster between the bricks? Maybe it's even referring to a case where the wall had already been plastered and he just put in another layer of plaster, and yet it's completely external, and yet the Mishnah requires its removal. Al kietme rav ami lin yibitletmar. Afagav the side of kai begufishal evan. He's telling us a kula that even if he plastered and decorated within the stone itself, kinotl mashachidish, if he takes out what he added, it's fine. It doesn't require anything further than that. The matam kivin shesai begufishal evan. We would think since the plaster went in the stone itself, kevin shechatz metchila avers kachavim damya, the titzra kula should become completely osur kamash malon, that all you need to do is take out the plaster and it will be acceptable.